Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Age of Radio.
This Thursday, at What Were They Thinking? Come see Lucas Till, Jane Levy, Thomas Lennon,
Danny Glover?
It is nitro-fueled funny car.
Ha 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 ha, fun.
Rob Lowe. So that's this Thursday on What Were They Thinking? We'll sell you the seat, but you'll only need the edge.
And it's coming in January, so you know it's good.
You know when I pick up a beat, that's when I'm under pressure now. The question always comes back to me, what were they thinking now?
Welcome.
I would
feel bad for the people listening. That would be torturous.
Probably would shut off pretty quickly after that.
Hit that 15-second button just to see if this ever stops, and it doesn't. Episode deleted from the internet. Welcome everyone. This is a brand new episode of What Were They Thinking. Be weird if I said welcome, this is a repeat of What Were They Thinking, but it is a brand new episode. I am Brendan, and joining me here to talk about this week's movie, which I'm sure you know, have a good idea of what it is by reading the title of the episode, or, you know, hearing us do that little shindig at the beginning.
Eardrums assaulted.
Yeah. Joining me is the, well, Nathan, here we are. I'm going to do it. Is the Jane Levy to my Lucas Till.
I could have been Creech. You could have said, you know, the Creech to my Trip.
I could have, but I pegged you as the thirsty one.
Thanks.
We'll talk about that later, though.
Hi, everybody.
Okay, we are here talking about a movie that I actually put on the schedule and took off the schedule maybe more than any other movie in the history of this podcast. I think
so that it's got a revisionist kind of cult to it now.
Yeah.
Who say, you know what? They were wrong. This thing's worth a shot.
It's true.
It's a lot of fun.
They might be saying worth a watch. We'll see what happens. But don't take our word for it. Wait, hold on. Did I jump ahead?
Much later.
Oh, sorry.
Much later.
My bad. But of course, if we're going to talk about this movie, which is Monster Trucks 2016, that's disgusting. If we're going to talk about Monster Trucks, an extreme sport? Question mark, close enough.
Get the ads alone, I think, qualified for an extreme sport.
There you go. Yeah, I'll take that. But joining us, of course, because we can't talk about this kind of thing alone, our resident extreme sports expert in-house, Jerrica.
How's it going?
It's going great.
Be there.
No, you be there.
I mean, I am glad to finally be here because, as Brendan has alluded to, this has been a long time coming since I literally saw this movie in cinemas in 2016 or 2017 when it came out, I guess. So, I remember it like it came. Podcast? Yeah, it came out, and then I think you guys made the podcast. And then Brendan kept dangling this goddamn carrot Oh, we're going to do monster trucks. We're going to do monster trucks year after year. I've slogged through so many shitty movies.
To get to this.
It all paid off, baby.
To get to this one. I'm finally here. Oh, my gosh. It's like 2024.
This movie came out at least 7 years ago. If it came out in January 2017.
I think it did. That's 2016. Insane.
It says 2016, but I don't know if that's the Cannes Film Festival release date, maybe.
I thought it was 2017. But regardless, Brendan has been teasing me with this for, at least 7 years now. And I'm here. Wikipedia says it was released. It got a 2016 release in France.
Oh, see, Cannes, I told you.
And then 2017 was when it was released.
Just so they could get it under the wire for Oscar contention?
Yeah. It went to Cannes, and then it went to Tribeca. I remember Robert De Niro did this, 10-minute speech about it. It was beautiful.
He's I'm finally here.
The monster trucks. Telling you, you got to see these trucks.
Yeah. What did you think about the movie, Robert De Niro? Pretty good.
Had a good time.
But now let's talk about Trump. Okay, so Monster Trucks, 2016 or 2017, depending on your religion.
Your nationality, really.
Yeah. Yeah, sure, yeah, depending on what country you're from. I enjoy the fact that Jerrica has the, and then this is just for us, but I enjoy the fact that Jerrica has the blur function on Skype, because when you pick up the soda, it looks like we haven't paid for that sponsor, so they're just blurred out.
Yeah.
And the best part is it's like one of those things where it's very clear what it is, but we're just can't afford it.
Yeah, no, you don't want to be given Diet 7 Up any money.
When Mariah's not here, she's here.
Visual gags on an audio podcast. Okay, so I'm going to run down real quick the plot of this movie.
Plot!
So Lucas Till plays young Trip. How young? Younger than he looks, let's just say that. He plays high schooler Trip, who is really into cars and, I don't know, kind of dumb, smart with cars, but maybe kind of dumb in every other department. Anyway, he's working at a scrapyard where there just happened. And by the way, just recently there was an incident involving some scientists where they, I don't know, drilled through an ecosystem or something and almost caused a massive genocide. And this squid-like creature, you might say, pops up in the scrapyard, and he says, you know what, this is a great premise for a Cronenberg movie. He drills him into his car to create a permanent prison for said squid. And the movie is essentially a monster in a truck. You get it? So it's essentially the E.T. prototype plot of boy meets monster. Boy and monster start getting along. Boy runs from government agents. Many people trying to get monster. Dad is not there, et cetera, et cetera. Hilarity ensues. That's essentially it. We did it.
Walkie-talkies or shotguns.
Nope. That would be great, though.
Permanently in prison, I think Brendan may have exaggerated that point a bit, because the creature, or Creech, as he's known, does get out and go swimming at one point of his own volition. He's not stuck in the truck.
Much to Tripp's chagrin. Much to his chagrin, because he is not happy that he escaped his truck prison. I only say this because the end of the movie, and I know I'm jumping way ahead, but the end of the movie seals it when he tells Creech, "You were a good truck." Not thanks for being my friend. You
That's
were a
saving
good
my life right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it comes up earlier too when I don't even remember the girl's name. Jane Levy. I don't remember her character's name.
Nope.
But she says, "Oh, it's like a wheelchair for him," and he's like, "No, it's like he's an engine for my truck." And it's
yeah,
he's totally I know he's not human, but he's totally dehumanized. He literally just sees him as a truck.
As
he's no different to him than a brake pad.
By the way, how great would it have been to do a crossover with this movie and the Fast and the Furious movies if they had a bunch of like fucking monster trucks like this kind?
I just feel like that's something that could have happened had this performed better at the box office.
What are you talking about? This didn't make a bunch of money. This $125 million budgeted January release didn't make bank.
What was it, like $63 million it made or something like that?
Worldwide.
Yeah.
Did not do very well. So much so that I think when this episode comes out, people are like, that's a movie? But yeah. It is. So yeah, let's talk about this movie a little bit. We don't have to go in order. That's not what we do anymore. But first thing I'm going to say.
The whole world is chaos.
The whole world is chaos. Nothing makes sense anymore.
Cats live with dogs.
Mass hysteria. So, okay, how many movies? I was trying to think of some, and maybe there are, and I'm just not racking my brain. But how many successful movies have their title as like a play on words, like a not a pun, but you know, like monster trucks. I guess it's kind of sort of a pun, but like I was trying to think.
Monsters in trucks.
Yeah. So yeah. I mean, but I was trying to think, I was like, I feel like that doesn't have a great success rate. And I also don't feel like it's one of those movies where if you don't see the poster, you're like, the title of the movie is Monster Trucks. Like, okay.
Actually, it's kind of funny because when I watched it this week, Patty was asking, you know, do you gotta watch movies this week for the show? And I'm like, yeah. And she came home last night. She goes, well, what one did you have to watch tonight? I said, I always seen it before. It was monster trucks. She goes, oh, monster trucks are fun. I'm like, no. See, they're monsters that are in the trucks. Remember the guy finds the alien and he uses it as an engine. She goes, oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
It's which not was a title the amount of
enthusiasm this movie was greeted with at the box office.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I told a friend. I was like, yeah, I'm doing another episode of my friend's podcast. And I was like, where we watch bad movies. And she was like, what movie are you watching? And I said, Monster Trucks. And she had never heard of it. And then I explained to her briefly what it was. And she was just like blankly like, not a million years. Was that what I thought you were going to say this movie was about?
I was kind of hoping you were going to say, and she said, but you said you watch bad movies.
Oh,
well,
boy.
Well, I mean, we can get into that.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Well, okay. So I thought, yeah, and I thought you were going to say she just reacted by saying that's not a real movie.
I mean, the words you're saying would in that order make complete sentences, but what you are saying is lunacy.
Yeah, none of that is making any sense in my ears. Okay, so yeah, so we've established not a great title. Can we also establish, this was my biggest problem in a movie about a monster that lives in a truck prison that drives around. Lucas Till in this movie looks to be much older than everyone else, every other child. When he is on the school bus in one of the opening scenes, it's only a scene, and I know I mentioned this so many times to so many people.
You have been mentioning this like literally since we saw this movie in 2017. We didn't see it together. Brendan and no. I worked together at the time at a movie theater. So I also just realized that I did not contribute to the box office because obviously I got him for free.
I didn't either. Sorry.
Got it on the rental market, so.
But you have been bringing this up literally since the first time you saw it. Like, I think that was the first thing you said to me was how old he looked on the school bus.
Yes, it's like a 6 second shot, but like he's on, you just see him on the school bus, and of course this guy drives by in his like fancy ass truck with Samara Weaving. Hello,
yeah.
Early movie appearance.
Yeah,
do to me. Either of those people get names?
Samara Weaving.
No,
I don't think so.
I mean, the boyfriend that's with her, he does a little bit of trash talking, and we can see he's a, you know, one of those movie tropey jock boyfriends who's more interested in his truck and video games than her, you know, so much to the point that later in the movie when they actually steal or quote unquote repossess his truck, she sees it and she's like, hi. how's it going? And just lets them take off with his big green truck that he's always, you know, riding around and revving up and stuff like that.
Yeah, no, they don't get names. I don't think he's just supposed to be like a bully, I guess. And she's just with him. And they set it up like they're kind of they set it up almost like she's later going to be going to see the error of the bully's ways and be into him. And then but then he's going to be like, but no, I'm definitely into Jane Levy. But then she just they just disappear at some point. But
well, no, that they show up periodically throughout.
Yeah, like, but I mean, they don't end up being important, really.
Right, exactly. And they even, like you said, they even set him up to be like this bully type, which his bullying kind of just amounts to him doing a tear, like, oh, poor baby's taking the bus thing. Yeah. And then later he talks a bit of smack at the gas station, and that's it. Mm-hmm. He doesn't, like, get into a fight with him or anything.
No, and at the end... Again, jumping forward to the end, there's like a montage as Lucas Till and Jane Levy are driving out of town, and you see Samira Weaving and the bully in her car together. So I mean,
she didn't
even like break up with him.
No,
like
no,
she still just... like, knows that she's dating an asshole. It's just different now because she's the one driving, I guess.
Yeah,
I actually noted both times, like the last two times we see her. Why doesn't she just leave him? There's nothing but pain and misery on her face every time we see her with him. Why doesn't she just walk away?
I feel like something was cut because that story didn't have a finish. Like it finished. Like it didn't have a finale. I feel like that was the plan. I feel like the plan was that she was like, "You're a real asshole," and then Tripp's like, "You're cool, but I'm into Jane Levy now." But they didn't go there. Anyway, I gotta get back to this. He's on the fucking bus, and he looks to be. I'm sorry. Compared to everyone else, he looks like a 25-year-old man, and everyone else is like 10. And it is the weirdest visual of this fully adult man on a school bus with a bunch of small children. And I, the first time I saw it, I laughed so hard. I laughed for like a solid minute.
My only theory about that is that the township that they live in is so small that the school that's there is like a magnate school. So like all the kids in town go to that school. So that's why he's on the bus. Plus, as you alluded to earlier, he's pretty book-dumb insofar as, like, you know, biology and stuff. So maybe he's been held back a couple of years, and he's actually, like, 20 years old.
He's been held back 10 years, you think?
I'm going to say that when I was in high school, there was a dude in one of my French classes who was legitimately 20 years old.
So, yeah, it could happen. I mean, I think it just points out the casting weirdness. Like if they hadn't, I would have just like blindly bought into it if they hadn't had that one little shot and I was like, okay, now it's plainly obvious that he is not the correct age.
Yeah, I mean, like on one hand he was 26 and they made the movie, and so was Jane Levy. Levy's
25. Yeah, exactly.
But like but also on top of that, he looks like a particularly older 26 year old. Like
it's been a hard 26 years.
Yeah, it's
years
been a hard 26
years. To be,
years.
You know, a tall, blonde-haired, blue-eyed fella.
Like, you could put Timothy Chalamet in there, and he would look the right age.
Can you imagine Timothy Chalamet in a truck movie where he is supposed to be a gearhead? Oh, my God.
He would look the right age. He would look 16.
This movie would have made 20 times the box office it made if that were the case, because everybody would just show up to go, oh my God, this is the most unbelievable thing I've ever seen.
But also in 2016, they'd be like, who the fuck is this guy?
Fair.
Well, I don't know. Did Call Me By Your Name, had that come out already?
No.
Okay, so yeah, they'd be like, who the fuck is this guy? This guy looks like he could play Wonka one day. But anyway, yeah, I'm not going to talk the whole episode about that bus scene. I want to, but...
If you want to draw comparisons to him, and not only just Samara Weaving, but there's also the redhead kid who is like yes, we're pals, ain't we, Chester? Ain't we, Chester?
He's that like 13. Kid.
Exactly.
That was the weirdest thing, too. I'm like, wait, that's his best friend? Is he like...
That kid is like... He's like, I want to be his best friend. You know, that's the vibe that's going on at the first of the movie. They're not like buddies.
That's like his friend's son.
It's like, yeah, it's so weird because like in other high school movies, Like if you go to Euphoria High School, everyone looks 30. Nobody and stands out. And
does a ton of drugs.
Yeah.
That's but why like, they all look 30.
But at this school, everyone looks normal except for Lucas Till.
Well, you know, coming from a broken family with divorced parents will do that to you. You have to live in North Dakota, which was actually really Chilliwack and Surrey, BC.
What?
I know it was Kamloops. I think it was Kamloops.
He also, like, Lucas still has this expression that he does, like, throughout the movie, where, like, I don't think he's, like, necessarily, like, a terrible actor or anything, but he does this blank expression every now and then, and I'm just, there's nothing. There's, like, zero behind the eyes, and it
which
it
is startles weird me. Because on MacGyver, he's a rather smart and put-together chap.
Oh, there's a new MacGyver. I was like,
well, there was a new MacGyver. It's not on anymore. But
I was like, wait,
it was on while this was on.
I was gonna say, is he actually 55?
But like, what's also really weird, and like, what makes him look even older is the fact that his character is so immature at times. So there's a scene where he gets in the truck.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you know what scene it is when he like I mean I get it, people having fun, but it's very weird to watch an obviously 26 year old man sitting in his truck being like, yeah, we can outrun that volcano, Mr. President. It's like I'm embarrassed for it, and I like this movie, but I'm embarrassed for him in that moment.
It was my asshole went back into my body during that scene.
When the kid who wants to be best pals with them, he does the exact same thing later.
Mm-hmm.
And, Tripp almost catches him doing it. And I'm like, you know, even if he had caught him, I don't think he would have said anything because, you know what? He's a 45-year-old man who does exactly the same thing.
Yeah, Tripp. Maybe Tripp was just visiting his son at that school. I don't know. But, okay, so when you got to have your lead to continue on with this us not talking about Creech yet. You have your lead. You got to have your romantic lead. And Jane Levy in this movie is maybe the thirstiest character in a while. She shows up and like she's obviously like so she's already his tutor before the movie starts. Right. Like she already knows
she's been matched assigned to him. Yeah.
Yeah. But throughout the course of the movie, she shows up unannounced and is like guilt tripping him into driving her home because she's like, I walked here. It was pretty creepy. You'd be pretty shitty if you didn't give me a drive home. What if something happened to me? And I'm like, girl, chill. She also like at some point in a pivotal moment in the movie, and I have to maybe I'm crazy and I missed something, but she's like when Creech gets away and the car is gone, she takes out her phone. She's like, I have an app that can track your phone. I'm like
wait, what?
Okay, I had questions on that because I like obviously Find My iPhone exists, but like people have like given me that permission
right
to track their iPhones. I don't like how did she set this up in the night, I assume.
Yeah, there's no scene or line or anything to suggest that other than her just saying, I have an app for that. And I
1000% Tripp's password to everything is password 123 exclamation point.
Wow, you're giving him a lot of credit with the exclamation point.
Well, you have to. It's you're forced to. It's a special character. Oh,
yeah, that's right.
Capital P, password, because I like to say password, 123 exclamation point.
I figured she was just going to go to her home screen. It was just going to be like a collage of his face like all over her phone. Because she comes across like the character comes across like a stalker. It was so strange.
She's definitely she's like obsessed with him in a way that like I don't get. She's like, oh, I like you. There's no one else in this town like you. There's no one else in our school like you. And I was like, ma'am, there is one of him in every gas station in like the Midwest. Like he is not special. What are you talking
he's
about?
He's cute to buy her beer because he's clearly in his 40s.
Because he's an adult. She's like, everyone else in our school looks so young. Yeah, no, she it's so bizarre. And then she goes from like it's like the character, they don't know whether she should be hoity toity or like going along for the ride. She kind of goes back and forth. And
okay, let's talk about that then. Her being like a rich kid.
Is she supposed to be a rich kid? Yeah, okay.
Because she has
a big garage.
Exactly. And Okay, so this is...
With horses.
Right. And she's
why did they bring Creech there?
Here's the thing, though. Sorry. Before even that, she says, yeah, you can put it in here. My dad hardly ever comes out here. You have horses that need to be fed. You have livestock. Why is he barely coming to the goddamn barn?
Also, does she just have, like, that one horse? Like, is there anything else? Isn't that, like, a full-ass barn or farm or something? Where are the other animals?
That's a great question.
Yeah, I mean, also go to her father also doesn't use.
Right. So, I mean, it could just be the one horse. Like, he just, like, I'll convert that barn into a garage and we'll leave one of the stables there so that Mistress Levy can have her horse.
Mistress Levy, yes.
Although she does say that she needs scholarships because otherwise she can't afford to go to school.
Which is baffling. By the looks of
that fucking place.
Like, sell the hunting cabin that you apparently don't ever go to. Just on the lakefront property.
He's out spending all his money on cocaine and whores, apparently. Oh, that's how he afforded the garage. But
he's better watch out because he's going to get caught by Sheriff Barry Pepper.
Barry Pepper. Barry Pepper does indeed play Tripp's stepdad. Well, the guy that's dating his mom.
Yeah. He's the Brad in this situation.
By the way, this movie's biggest sin is that they introduce Amy fucking Ryan as his mother, and then she doesn't do anything for the rest of the movie. Like,
no,
come on.
She goes to work, and then that's it.
Yeah, she literally, like, shows up and says, Tripp, come on, be nice to Barry Pepper, and then says, like, okay, my planet needs me, bye. Just takes off. But listen, this movie's called Monster Trucks. We haven't said word one about Creech. Creech!
So far, it sounds like we're just describing, like, a regular, like, teen drama about, like, trying to get out and, like, trying to afford to go to school.
But what and, if like, we threw in aliens?
Well, he's not an alien. He's from Earth.
Yeah.
That doesn't matter to Ishiro and Takahashi.
Nathan, you're just saying that because he doesn't look like you or me. Everyone's an alien to you. So, yeah, not an alien. Not an alien. But he is I don't know. He's not a cute monster. Does anybody think he's a cute monster? Because I think he's supposed to be.
I don't know, in a cave salamander kind of way.
I don't know. He had moments, I guess, where I thought, like, I don't know. Maybe the CGI wasn't good enough, though.
When he roars, though, he is a fucking, he's the stuff of nightmares because he's got, like, lamprey eel teeth.
Yeah.
Oof, that was terrifying.
That was alarming. When all those teeth came out, I was like, this just, a tiny little shift, and this is a horror movie.
Yeah. I was really hoping that he was going to bite the big baddie's face off at one point.
Well, he couldn't because Fritz von Erich was punching it in the face.
He used the Iron Claw on him.
He is the Iron Claw. He plays the titular Iron Claw. That was wild, though, having just seen the Iron Claw, like, just last year, at the end of last year, and then seeing him show up in this movie, I was like, oh no.
I forgot he was in it. I totally forgot about
it. Oh, yeah. I didn't know he was in Monster Trucks at all. But then when he showed up and I was like, oh, shit, that's the Iron Claw.
There's someone else in this movie that I want to talk about briefly.
Danny Glover?
No, but we can also talk about it because I also have questions about why Danny Glover is in this movie. I want to talk about the fact that Rob Lowe and only Rob Lowe is doing a Southern accent in this movie.
He's supposed to be Texan.
Right.
He sounds so ridiculous. It adds nothing.
I wonder if he saw Lone Ranger and was like, if Barry Pepper can do it, so can I. That's what he was in, right? Was that the one where he had Barry Pepper have a Southern accent?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not the only movie, but I mean, that's the most egregious one.
Yeah, that's
the only thing he's ever done.
That's where the whole Barry Pepper came from.
Jerica, you know that it's not true because Battlefield Earth exists. I'm sorry, I have to tell you.
I will tell you, I used to have such a crush on Barry Pepper in, like, the Battlefield Earth era.
Wait, just from that movie?
No, when he did an HBO movie about Roger Maris.
Okay.
And it's a baseball movie, but yeah, Barry Pepper in, like, 2000 was such a smoke show to me.
That was more of a Travolta Battlefield Earth stan.
course, we all make our choices.
Nathan was like, Kelly Preston had a cameo in that one, right?
Actually, yeah, so Battlefield Earth, but it's the Rift Tracks version.
That's the only one. That's the only one you want.
Only one you want. That's right.
That is a long, terrible movie.
It will give you motion sickness because it's all Dutch angles.
Well, that's to keep you on your toes.
Yeah.
Well, that'll probably pop up at some point on the show. So yeah, there's so many other people in this movie. Like people in this movie. Thomas Lennon is in this movie. He has hardly riffing at all. Hardly riffing?
Like you think about when he was in Welcome to Pottersville.
I don't want to.
There was so much like linorama stuff that they let him do. They gave him some free run with the lines. I think he got hardly anything to do like that in this movie. Like this was very much read what we wrote for you, please.
All his lines were just describing the situation. I think. I don't think it was really like the only funny moment he really gets is when he's in the truck and it lands and then he just goes like. Bleh.
I was gonna say he vomited and it was so gross.
The vomit moment is actually probably my biggest laugh in the movie. I'm not gonna lie. But yeah, Thomas Lennon, of course, he's in this movie. He's the one that he's the scientist that grows a heart of gold by the end of it. We mentioned Rob Lowe doing his like ridiculous Southern drawl.
The head of a Texas oil company.
Right. And then we got Danny Glover, who again pops up in the first like one of the first scenes and then like two other times. And I don't understand that character's purpose.
I also don't understand. Like, Danny Glover's not in a wheelchair in real life, right?
I don't think so.
Movie. Yeah.
Why is his character, like, I'm not saying, like, obviously there can't be, like, wheelchair representation in film, but I'm saying why is Danny Glover playing a man in a wheelchair?
My thought or theory on this is because when I read the Wikipedia article on this, this was intended to be a franchise. Okay. And so
is the next one monster wheelchairs?
The only thing I could think of is that possibly if this had become a successful franchise, that character may have had an arc where he would have, you know, maybe had his spine or nerves repaired so he'd be able to walk again. So they would need somebody who would be able to walk in a later installment. That's the only thing that I can think of. Anything else is why didn't you just hire a dude in a wheelchair
as an actor? Well, yeah, because I mean, it's like, oh, hey, it's Danny Glover. That's what he's doing in this movie. Oh, okay, cool, I guess. Yeah, he doesn't even like. I like to think of it as like it's Murtaugh years after the Lethal Weapon franchise. This is what he's doing now.
He was legitimately too old for that shit. So
he was too old for that. Now he just runs a scrapyard. He sees a monster and he's like, God damn it.
I mean, yeah.
Like, I thought Mel Gibson was gross.
Also, what's with his scrapyard not having any surveillance in 2017?
Yeah, it's very easy to get in there.
And nothing is like when Trip calls the cops to say, hey, this monster just appeared at the scrapyard. And he's not there when the cops get there. They just don't believe him. Like, why aren't they checking like surveillance? There should be surveillance. This is a scrapyard with all kinds of car parts that are worth thousands upon thousands. This is Danny Glover's livelihood. Why does he not have any security whatsoever?
Well, Danny Glover runs his business based on the honor system. you know, take a car part, leave a car part.
All right. We're gonna. Because we haven't said how we got there. The oil company, run by Yosemite Sam Rob Lowe,
yes,
is drilling for oil in North Dakota, which is actually British Columbia.
Mm-hmm. And they run into Nick Fury, who's jackhammering away in Alaska. No, nope.
Drill down so deeply that they find water, like a water table, and they're like. Oh, well, we have to check to make sure there's life or, you know, anything like that. And Thomas Lennon, this isn't the first of the movie, so he's, you know, he's just completely a company man. Says it's down too deep, full of nitrogen, can't support life. And then they see a blinking eye and there's bioluminescence. And three of the creatures escape. Okay. Creech. And then what we come to find out later is his parents escaped from, you know, this, I don't know, this underground lake ocean system that they live in. That's how Creech gets into North Dakota. That's why Rob Lowe is chasing Lucas Till, and Thomas Lennon is lying for him the entire time. And the squinty guy who played the Iron Claw is trying to kill everybody. Kill, like, legit, like, with no regard whatsoever for what's going on around him when he tries to vehicularly murder people.
Oh, yeah. He almost runs Barrett Pepper off the fucking top of a cliff.
He does.
Yeah,
he pushes him right over the side.
Yeah, and at one point, like, Lucas Till, like, falls out of his truck, and he's, like, also almost dies, like, multiple times.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the Iron Claw is like, fuck it, I don't care who I kill.
Yeah, he's in, like, a very different movie. Like, he's in, like, a hard R, like, Scorsese film.
He's like a Joe Don Baker character. He's just like, I've come here to murder everyone in my path. I thought he was like a hired gun for like government agents. I guess he kind of was, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, he was a hired gun for the oil company.
Yeah. Yeah. Very strange. And one point he says like to the sheriff, like, election's coming up, sheriff. And I'm like, are you going to rig the voting too? Like,
that's essentially what he's getting at.
Yeah.
He says that the company he works for employs just about everybody in this little town, including you, doesn't, but is basically essentially saying that, you know, if you go against us, we'll do everything in our enormous amount of power to make sure that you're not the sheriff come, you know, election time.
Gotta say though, when Barry Pepper gets that giant whatever that is, that truck thing that he starts driving, he easily could have killed everyone in his path because he doesn't even look to see where they're going. He's just like, here I come, Barry Pepper.
Well, in fairness, they all did try to kill his hopefully soon to be stepson.
True. We never see that wedding finale that we all demanded.
Maybe deserved.
That was the sequel.
Exactly. See, it was supposed to be a franchise.
Yeah. The sequel had nothing to do with Creech. It was just Amy Ryan and Barry Pepper getting married.
Tanked the franchise completely.
Yeah. It's just like a take on My Big Fat Greek Wedding, but just with the Creech just shows up at the wedding. It's a cameo. It's like a Joey Fatone moment.
Waves. Oh, they would definitely get married like on the lake shore.
The crater lake.
And then you would like look out and there would be all the little creatures.
For a second, I thought you were going to say they would definitely get Joey Fatone. Which I was like, I hope so. I hope he's not a hard guy to get in a movie. Fatone wants to play ball, but he's asking for a lot. He's Joseph Fatone, guys. I got a major question here. Because essentially in the movie, he gets Creech to be his engine. As we said, mm-hmm. You were a good truck. You were my engine. And he puts him in his truck. And so whatever, when the little flaps open, Creech can look forward and he's pushing the truck forward.
And steering. Well,
he's steering, I think.
Well, no, he tells Creech that he has to remind him that he's the one who steers. But there's several times that Creech takes over and does the steering.
Oh, yes.
Like when he gets all jacked up on diesel.
When he gets super like coked up, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But would you not, if you were driving up alongside this truck, could you not see that there was something amiss here? Like, I think you could, because you could see his tentacles around the wheels. You could see his, if you looked in your fucking rearview mirror, you would see his face in the grill, like where the grill is. Like, how are people not seeing this thing?
The grill, I can explain away. That's just customization stuff that, you know, truck dicks do. But the
truck dick, by the way, sounds like a private detective who owns a truck.
The real simple premise.
That's it.
But you make a great point about the, you know, Creech's tentacles, because not only can you see them in the wheel wells of the truck, you can also see them also kind of dangling as the truck goes by, like he's dangling from the undercarriage.
Yeah, like I think it's so plainly obvious that there's sort of.
That there's a monster in his truck.
Whoa! Yeah, exactly. Like, how does Ironclaw not drive by that and be like, "Oh shit! Well, he's right there. Found him."
Glad were you that they didn't say actually monster trucks once. How, like, your ribs are fine, eh?
My ribs are very thankful.
I was I was expecting to say it at least once.
Mariah was like sanding her elbow, getting ready.
Getting ready. And,
yeah. I was like, you probably shouldn't sand it. I think the skin's coming off. And she's like, it's worth it.
Making the bone all pointy.
I'm like, I don't think that's what it's doing, dear.
Actually, in a movie called Monster Trucks, we get very little like terrestrial monster trucks. There's like a Creech watches a bunch of YouTube videos, I guess, on a loop while he's in the fucking Trip is working on him at the barn. And then that's when he gets the next day he gets all jacked up on diesel because he normally their species eats oil, like crude oil.
Most expensive pet to own. You have to feed it fucking oil.
Well,
what does your monster eat? Oh,
so I mean,
gold?
$50 a barrel. I mean, but
still, but
$390 worth of diesel they feed him, and he gets all just jacked up like a little kid on pixie sticks, and just proceeds to wreck downtown New Westminster. I mean, that little hamlet in North Dakota.
Yeah, they're in the States, Nathan. Come on,
right? That actually, that the car dealership that gets wrecked, I used to work like half a block down from that, and it's used a lot for film shooting because the actual car dealership closed at one point and they were just using it for shooting. So about a half a block away from where they're fixing up the trucks, you know, where we first, you know, find out that there's a creature loose in town eating the oil out of cars. But a half a block away from that is a warehouse full of pornography with a storefront.
Oh, well, why didn't they go there? That would have been a funny scene.
It would have been interesting. I mean, Lucas still wouldn't. He wouldn't have got ID'd. He wouldn't have asked him for his card or anything.
They would have been like, you're too old to be here.
You're clearly old enough to be here, sir.
Jerrica, tell me you wouldn't love to see a scene of like Creech going in and just looking at the magazines and then he does like an expression to camera.
I mean, is he wearing like, I'm imagining he's like wearing like a trench coat and a hat to pretend that he's a human. Yeah.
And dark glasses.
Yeah. Okay.
And then James Brown starts playing.
Actually, given the mugging that the creature does to, or Creech does to in this movie, he probably would go, and then, you know, wiggle the eyebrows.
Yeah, they hired a real ham for this role, for sure.
Like a legitimate ham, they just painted it gray.
Ew, gross. But the special effects are pretty good, guys, so we don't really need to get into that. I mean, I guess they're not as... When I was turning this movie on, I was like, had you guys seen this before? Did you just watch this for the first time, Nathan?
No, I'd seen it before. I'd seen it actually. What, like I said, I got it on the rental. I've got kids, man. This is definitely like a prime kids type movie, and I think the girls would have been about probably 11 and 9 when this movie came out. So yeah, they'd seen it before and had a great time with it.
Yeah, it doesn't look. I've definitely seen movies that look worse.
Yes.
However, when I did hit play, it also looked worse than I remembered, I think.
Yeah. I think at the time I was like, whatever. And now I'm like, oh, okay.
I do appreciate that you can like tell that like his parent creatures are like a little older. They've got like wrinkly faces. Like they've got some personality.
I would have loved if one of them just had like glasses, like reading glasses.
You gotta adjust them to see.
He's got a little like night light. He's got a book in his hand.
I get those vibes, yeah. The little tank that they were living in, like Thomas Lennon just lifts up the lid and he's just got like his little readers on.
Yeah. Oh, would have been great if only.
Okay, cloud saving from an iPhone or from an Android device. How long has that been a thing? I gotta say that's probably been 2014-ish.
Yeah, for sure. I was absolutely blown away that the only plan they had to prevent all of this from getting out was just I'm going to delete the photos, the pictures off from the phone. You've sent the Terminator after him.
Yeah.
To essentially threaten his life multiple times, and then when you finally get him, the only thing you do is just delete. Like, did you even clear the trash? Like,
that's why
people can just go in there. Right,
exactly. Hey, you know what? He runs a multinational oil company. He's not a tech genius.
Like, I laughed so hard. I wrote that down too, because like, yeah, Rob Lowe grabs like Lucas Till's phone. And he's like, "And are these the only photos? And delete, gone forever." And I'm like, you didn't even empty the recycling bin, dude.
And you don't know how the cloud works.
No. Like, how many, and like, do you think he didn't send that to people?
Yeah, like did they also take like her phone? Because I assume that she has also taken pictures. Well, we,
she
like,
did. Remember? Yep. Remember she took a photo of them together?
There is like so much tech evidence.
See, I thought that was her phone, because he made mention of all the cat pictures that were.
Oh yeah, that's right. It is her
but
phone.
He took selfies though.
He did.
Like, he held the phone up and took a selfie with Creech.
It's true. So I mean, we only saw him delete the pictures off one phone. So we just have to assume that the other one is just like chock-a-block full of like selfies with this monster.
It would have been funny if there was like 10 minutes of Rob Lowe just being like, "It's not. How do I? Hey, you, come here. How do you do that? Is this the gallery? What do I do?" It's like, no, you got it. It's deleted. You got it good. You're good. Oh, okay. Anyway.
Get out of my office.
Oh, man. So they do have the kind of Tripp's got like a shitty dad thing, but that doesn't even really factor in that much either. He just kind of turns on him. And the crazy thing is, okay, so he goes and visits, his dad works for the company that caused this disaster.
And he's surprised that he's in town, because the dad left town.
Right.
He's back in town and didn't say, "Hey, son, I'm in town. You want to get together for a beer? Cause you're easily old enough to drink."
And he left Amy Ryan. Like, come on, what are you doing? But
got Barry Pepper.
He goes to visit his real dad, and he's in like one of those like trailers on the work site or whatever. And you know, they're clearly telling us like, you know, he's down in his luck, blah 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 blah. And then immediately, as soon as they exit the trailer, fucking Iron Claw's there with his gang, and he sold them out to him, which is like, that's one thing. But the fact that he sold them out to this crazy psycho. Like, it's not.
But
just,
he works for the company. He sold them out to the company. There's, if he's selling them out to, if he calls anybody at the head office, if he calls Rob Lowe or Rob Lowe's secretary or Thomas Lennon or Thomas Lennon's secretary, they're all gonna be like, "Yeah, the kid who's got the monster, he's at the work site. Sends the Iron Claw to go get them," because the Iron Claw works for the oil company.
But they don't even have a scene of the dad being like, "Well, that was pretty shitty what I did." He just gets his home destroyed.
It's not even his home. It's like it's a work cubicle. Like it's one of those, you know, they bring them out to work sites, so the foreman has a place to do paperwork. He trashes it, and apparently this was one of the good ones, because it came with a spring loaded microwave door.
Well, by the way,
I want to explain this. He's making like lunch when they get there. All this ensues. They trash his place because they all, you know, get in their monster trucks and tear off and destroy. And just the very last second, you know, just like with the Flash, the microwave, which should not have electricity going to it at this point now, goes ding, and the door spring load pops open.
At least
microwaves
the baby
don't work like that.
At least the baby didn't pop out like the
That's
Flash.
That's fair. Sorry to interrupt. What were you saying?
I don't remember.
Something about being better.
I was just like shocked that like his dad doesn't even recognize him.
Yeah.
Like when Tripp shows up, his dad doesn't even recognize who he is. And then he sees Tripp's truck and he's like, "Oh yeah, that's so fucking sweet. Is that yours?" And I'm like, that is such an ugly truck. Like, I know I don't want to be on the team bully, but the bully's right. That truck does look like a piece of shit.
Jerick is like,
no matter what it looks like, it's what it can do.
Jerica is like hashtag team weaving.
Well, and then his dad's like, "Oh, I mean the truck. I assume the girl is yours."
That was weird too.
And my old son, the poonhound.
I know. I'm like, you're a grown man. This is kind of weird. But I mean, she's probably loving it. She's probably like, yeah, I am his.
This your woman?
And then, yeah, even like later on, I think somebody mentions like, we're going to get his girlfriend. And he's like, well, I don't know. And then she's like,
yeah, he's like, oh, I don't know. Is that what we are? And she's like, yes. Because they've already held hands by that point.
Do they even kiss in this movie? I don't think they do. So. I don't think we ever get a confirmation that they're going to be a couple other than them walking away together at the end, right?
Driving away together at the end.
Driving away, yeah.
Yeah, I guess not.
Feels very, very, like, I'm trying to think of the word for it, but
I think a kiss would have been fine, but this movie is definitely, although Lucas Till is clearly in his 60s and
gets older every time.
This movie.
Look, he's on death's door. He's 95 years old.
He's got a trach ring and he's
gross.
But the movie itself is obviously geared towards, you know, kids who are like maybe just become teenagers, 13, 14, maybe a little younger. So you don't want to get too, you know, mushy, because the boys will be like, ew, gross girls, because that's, you know, some of them are still like that. I mean, what are you going to do, right? You can't exactly have some big make-out hot session, you know, because, you know somebody's going to be dropping off their 10-year-old for a matinee so they can go to the mall food court and have 10 fucking minutes of quiet. Sorry, okay. That was, whoa, didn't know where that came from.
There is one moment though in this movie that is disgusting.
Oh, okay.
And I think that we need to address it.
Okay. Yep. Bring it up.
It's that little redheaded best friend of Lucas Till.
Just the kid in general.
Wannabe best friend. Fucking redhead. Get gross.
No, I'm not saying that. I love redheads, but they show his butt. They show his butt crack, and
that's hilarious to kids.
They show his butt crack, and there's his, and like Jane Levy like looks at it, and like, she's a grown woman, and she like looks at it, and then she looks at Lucas Till, like to be like, "Are you seeing this kid's butt crack?" And Lucas Till's like, "Yeah, I am," and I'm just like, I mean, you're talking about like they can't show a kiss. They're making me as a grown woman look at this child's bum.
Yeah, that is weird that the camera is like, check this out.
Well, the butt crack joke is hilarious. That's, I'm just saying, you know.
But the weird acknowledgement of like, you checking this out?
Yeah, but you see what I'm seeing?
It's supposed to be more like, oh, this fucking goober.
It's just weird.
It's weird because the two leads are older, I think, too.
And, like, this is a child. Like, you're talking about the age difference.
I'm not talking about the age of the actual actor. I'm just talking about the situation in general. I get what they're going for, and it's funny because we're supposed to be suspending our disbelief that they're maybe a couple of years older than this kid, when in reality, they're at least a decade older.
The optics of that. I just can't get over how young they don't look. Compared to all the children in the movie.
And the redheaded guy's like, oh, did you see that? Like, I got my hair cut like you. I hope no one thinks that we're brothers. Like
that kid, by the way, is a tragedy. He is a tragic character arc. He wants to be like, he's so like, wants to be friends with them so bad. And then they end up just basically using him to make their monster trucks at the end.
Now, Tamara does kind of guilt him. It's like, you realize you're going to have to at least hang out with them a bit after this, right?
And he's like, fat chance of that. Also, I will say, my co-host from my other podcast, for Screen and Country, Jason, would take great offense to this portrayal of redheads. He'd be,
I know, the truth very hurts. Sad.
Yeah. Wow.
No, I'm not saying this. I love redheads.
No, that was all Nathan.
Yeah, this thing, I'm not getting dragged into this. I don't need any discourse in my life. I love redheads.
Woo! Man, we're gonna get kicked off.
I mean,
off.
Jane Levy's also a redhead.
It's true.
This is after. The crazy part is like, this is after Evil Dead.
No, it's not.
Yeah. So 2 years before this, she was playing like a heroin addict who like gets sexually assaulted by like a tree and then like murders everyone and like cuts her arm off. And then
spoiler alert for monster trucks.
Yes. My kids have also, well, my oldest has seen that one too. So
the Evil Dead remake.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
Oh, I mean, I like it. It was great. But it's just funny that, like, she did that.
Yeah, that's and wild.
Then, like, 3 years later, did Monster Trucks.
You gotta scrub the image up every once in a while.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. If you're in, imagine, like, you're not knowing her age, just watching this movie. It's like, oh, I guess she's, like, 19. You're like, wait, how old was she in Evil Dead then? What, didn't that come out 3 years ago? That's wild. I didn't even think about that was before this. Jesus Christ. I also kept thinking, like, I also kept trying to figure it in my head if she was related to Eugene and Dan. And I was like, no, her eyebrows are not the same. She's not. There's no relation to that family.
The moment, though.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I just want to keep talking about Jane Levy. The scene where she shows up, too. So she shows up. She's trying to get him, like, she's his tutor, but he refuses to read or, like, acknowledge her in any way. So, like, she shows up at his work. And it's so funny.
Which means he's blind, like blind as a goddamn bat.
It's so funny because she shows up and then immediately says, drive me home. And then as soon as they get home, she says, my curfew's in 2 minutes. And I was like, bitch, why did you not leave your house until 20 minutes beforehand then? Like, what did you think?
She is lying to get a drive home with him.
It's so funny though, because she's like, I could be abducted, and he's like, who would abduct you? And she's like, so offended that, like, he doesn't think that she's worth kidnapping.
You don't think I'm hot enough to assault? Like, Jesus.
I'll have you know, at least 5 guys have been datelined by me.
And if you want proof, just watch every Wednesday on ABC. Whatever.
NBC.
Was it NBC? I thought it was ABC Dateline. Okay. Shows what I know. They told me it was going to air on ABC. Anyway.
ABC is Nightline.
Oh, okay. Too many lines. So let's just talk about the final moments of this movie. It's a big car chase, truck chase. There's a couple of good car chases
in this movie. I'm not going to take away from this movie with the truck chases. Those, if the inner 14-year-old of me was absolutely, those were so much fun. In fact, during the final one, when things are really getting hectic and they're racing to try to get to prevent the oil company from poisoning the ecosystem to kill all the creatures so they can keep drilling for oil, I actually wrote the note, go get some, yeah, come on. and of course, when Creech, you know, jumped through the fucking window over the Iron Claw's truck, I was like, bite his arm off, bite his arm off.
I laughed so hard when he started punching Creech in the face. Like, that was his only defense. I'm like, he's literally like almost a sponge. Like, what are you doing? So funny. But yeah, so there's just a big, yeah, it's just a big car chase. And like we mentioned before, Iron Claw almost kills Barry Pepper, tries to kill Barry Pepper, tries to kill Trip. He doesn't get killed. He just gets like attacked by the creature. Rob Lowe gets arrested, to which I noted not for what he maybe thought he was going to get arrested for a few years ago, but he gets arrested anyway. And then, yeah, that line, you were a good truck.
It's kind of crazy, like, so I was going to call him Lucas, like I'm on a first fucking name basis with Lucas Jill now, apparently.
Lucas and Rob, yeah.
Like, his truck is, like, Tripp's truck is, like, dangling off the edge of the cliff into this lake. And then he has this moment where, like, he looks at, I almost called her Eugene Levy.
Eugene Levy.
He has this moment where he looks at Eugene Levy, and he kind of looks like he's just, like, accepted his death.
Mm.
Like, it's right before he falls off the cliff, and he kind of just looks at her, and, like, she looks back, and they, like, smile, but, like, oh, yeah, we did it. We saved it. Wasn't this so worth it? And then he, like, falls, I don't know, hundreds of feet into a lake.
Truck, though. I mean... And he's supposed to have a 5-point harness on, which actually disappears several times during that last truck chase.
Well, I know I don't know anything about that, but I'm just saying this, like, 93-year-old man is so willing to accept his death.
It's really like
he's lived a good life. I mean, really, he's seen, you know, friends and family die before he did. So that's why he's he's okay
is
with
this
it.
A Green Mile?
I was gonna say it's like a somber moment ripped from like How to Blow Up a Pipeline or something. Like, this is not for monster trucks. This is for like a serious moment of reflection. Like, have we gone too far?
I will say, for a movie that is, you know, geared towards that, like, you know, 10 to 14 age range.
This is a kid's movie?
I was gonna say, you keep saying that, but I saw this movie as a 27-year-old woman.
That gets really, really heavy-handed and terrifying at points. Creech, I legitimately thought he was going to bite somebody in half during this movie.
Should have. Also, I know we briefly touched on this, but like when they're driving through the city and they do all that damage in BC, or I mean North Dakota, like you said, they barely register. It barely registers with them. Like Trip is just like, oh, Creech, and like they've just destroyed.
They raced over roofs.
Yeah, and he destroyed an entire car lot.
Yeah, twice.
Like every twice. Truck at that twice dealership is now broken.
Because not only did they drive over it during that, you know, when he was all hepped up on diesel, before we even meet Creech, he done that because he ate all the oil out of the blocks and of all the cars in the car dealership.
Yeah, they do.
Can you imagine the insurance rates on that poor car dealership?
I know. And then the truck that they take, like, because they go to the redheaded kid's truck dealership and was like, hey, do you have a truck that we can have? And he was like, yeah, this is going to be my truck on my 16th birthday, but you guys can have it now.
And they're like, well, sucks to suck, redhead.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, this is ours now. This is Thomas Lennon's truck now.
I'm the captain now.
Actually, I think Samara Weaving ends up Eugene Levy ends up driving it.
Yeah. Anyway, any final thoughts on monster trucks?
You know what? It definitely cribs from, you know, those like that Amblin E.T. Mac and Me type of movie. It quality wise, it leans definitely more towards the Mac and Me, but you know, at its heart, it's trying to be like E.T. or Explorers, another one that I can think of, you know, we give kids, you know, off on high adventure with aliens and whatnot.
Salo, a Serbian film, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Off Brendan.
Okay.
Well, I personally think it's kind of gotten a bit of a bad rap. I mean, some of it's deserved, but I mean, considering who you're aiming it at, I think this movie is just fine enough.
I just think it's such a ludicrous movie. And Ludacris is not even in it. Okay, let's move. Let's ready to move on. Ready to give our final opinions here. Jerrica, of course, as our guest, I'll start with you. Is this movie? And I don't even know why I'm asking you this, but I'm gonna ask you anyway. Is this movie worth a watch? A drunk watch with friends? Would you attempt head trauma to forget it or avoid like the plague?
This movie is worth a watch, and I know. I know. I mean, you knew.
I knew.
We all knew. I'm pretty sure. So like I said, I saw this movie in cinemas. I'm pretty sure I saw it twice in cinemas. I will say when I watched it the first time to rewatch it for this, I watched it twice to like watch. I did really like it again the first time that I rewatched it. I will say when I watched it the second time for this, I was kind of a little like, oh, maybe this isn't like, I think it lost me then, maybe a little bit, but
what about the third and fourth time?
If anybody's looking for this film, I had to watch it on Argentinian Netflix.
VPN.
If anybody's looking for this movie, I think it's worth a watch. I think it's fun, but I also like Jane Levy a lot. Like she was in a great show called Suburgatory that happened before this. Like, I like Jane Levy.
Yeah, she's good.
I'm not gonna lie, when I saw this first in 2017, it was because I thought Lucas Till was a babe.
And then when you saw it, you were like, he's far too old for me.
I mean, mean, I think it's worth a watch. I think that's a really surprisingly good cast for what it is. Like, I think the cast is strong.
But they arguably don't really do much with, though, for the most part.
No, I mean, like you said, Amy Ryan is in the first scene.
Danny Glover, Rob Lowe, really, like, not a lot. Okay, worth a watch. Nathan, what say you, sir?
Well, I am of two minds with this movie. Now, as a dad, I would definitely say this is worth a watch with your kids. It's a lot of fun. They're cute. The creatures are interesting. You know, you've got the whole environmental message. It's just a lot of E.T. fun going on. Despite the fact that Brendan says they're not aliens, they look different than me, so they're aliens. But I mean, jaded, cynical me would be like, just avoid. It's just ridiculous. Go, you know, watch another thing. Well, I might not say avoid like the plague. Maybe attempt head trauma to forget. But mm-hmm. I think I'm gonna have to side with the dad side of me. I think this movie is actually worth a watch. It's I think it's a lot of fun. I do remember how bad it got trashed when it came out, and mm-hmm. I think just again a lot of it is because the audience for this is so narrow that, you know, it's not one that would play to a hugely broad audience.
Yeah. And I think being like a January release, it just felt like, well, let's just shove this shit out to the cinemas. It's called Monster Trucks. Get it? So I think that probably played into it a bit. And like an unreasonable amount of money was spent on the budget for this movie, and it is not on screen. I would say I'm not going to go full tilt, but I am going to say this is a drunk watch. This is something that you can there's moments in it that are funny, and the whole premise is just so insane. And again, we talked at length about the ages of the characters, but it's true. It's so noticeable and it's so jarring.
I was going to say it is super jarring. Like, if you just put Lucas Till and Jane Levy beside each other,
yeah.
I think they could pass.
Sure.
As maybe 20.
As maybe 20, without us seeing how old everyone else is.
But it's the fact that they're stuck in high school with people who don't look old enough to be in high school.
Why did they have to be in high school? They could have been in college.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Let's just think about that some more.
Let's really debate that. No, we're going to take a brief break. We will be right back.
Delayed reaction.
What were they thinking?
And we're back.
Yes. Yes, we are.
And it's now time for the low haiku here on NPR. Mm-hmm. Nathan, why don't you just tell the people, tell them what I'm talking about.
Well, Brendan is talking about the part of the show where we get a little poetic and we flex our poetry skills, if you will, with 17 perfect syllables to encapsulate the movie we've just been talking about for well over an hour.
Yes, indeed. And, of course, once again, as our guest, Jericho, would you like to begin with your low haiku?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
This movie is fun. Lucas Till was 26. You were a good truck.
Very good.
Thank you.
Truer words were never spoken.
That's the epitaph for my gravestone.
Good truck. Yeah, we need to make sure that happens. Don't let her go back on that. Nathan, would you like to read your haiku?
Yes, and I would like to know that everyone to know rather that Jared and I have not seen each other's works before my haiku was read. So
this is
not
happened,
even in the same time zone.
This has happened a couple of times with you and I, so I'm very intrigued now.
It's just the briefest of blink and you'll miss it, but okay. Here it is. Okay. This movie is fun. My opinion won't be changed.
Woo! Get some! Let's go!
Thank you. Very good, very good. Okay, I'll finish it with my little haiku here. Just think about it. Monster trucks, a play on words. It's the little things.
Very good, very good.
Thank you, thank you. I appreciate subtlety.
Well, don't you know about the creature? Well, wait, they admit that. Don't work.
Everybody knows that the creature's at the beach. I don't know.
Oh, actually, no, that does work because that happens in the movie.
There you go. That's what would have made those Frankie Avalon beach movies interesting, if they just threw the creature in there.
Yeah.
But like eating people.
The big teeth.
Although we didn't talk about like right before Creech escaped from the beach. Creech escaped from the beach. Lucas still was crying all alone in the truck, and then Creech like comforted him.
And scared the shit out of him.
You're right. That was the emotional peak.
Yeah, because Lucas Till realizes that his dad fucking hates him.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, and then I did forget to mention too. Jane Levy says, like, I'm sorry, we're going back to the movie, but just for a second, because Jane Levy said, he's like, man, me thinking my dad would turn out to be a good person. And she said, but that's what defines you. And I'm like, yeah. Having a shitty dad?
She was like, that's what makes you who you are. If it wasn't him, you wouldn't be you.
And I'm like, and it's like, I don't know if I need that.
Part. Yeah, like.
That's what defines me.
Your shitty dad. From Field of Dreams.
Is that was? Okay.
Yeah, he was in Field of Dreams.
Okay, I promise you we're moving on, folks. We talked about this movie. We gave our opinions. You know, we have a saying on the show that we like to tout. Remember that app? Tout?
Yes.
No. What the fuck are you talking about?
I'll tell you.
Reference. Got it in.
Get secured. Nathan, what's that saying we like to tout on the app tout?
That saying that we tout upon tout is...
Don't take a word for it!
That is correct. That's what we say. We say don't take our word for it. Nathan, we know the critics weren't super kind to this one. What are they saying about monster trucks?
32% out of 97 reviewers. So
pretty much.
I disagree with that. I mean, I know like objectively, that's literally what the I know that's what the website says.
Yeah. My favorite is when it's like Rotten Tomatoes gave this movie a 32%. Like, no, that's not what happened. Okay, fine. 32%. But the audience, I mean, how many reviews are on here from Jerrica? It must be higher than 32%.
Well, I think there's about 2,500 from Jerrica, because the audience is sitting at about 51% of the 5,000 plus ratings.
Okay.
But I mean, if you like this, you might also like shorts.
Just like
the movie, not the clothing.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you probably did like the ones that Tommy Wiseau sent you, but
they're underwear.
Shorts. Undershorts or shorts?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. They have a side cock pocket, by the way. I just want to point that out.
Delightful. Goosebumps with Jack Black.
I mean, I'm just gonna say, as someone who likes monster trucks, I fucking love that Goosebumps movie too.
Yeah, that's
I love that movie.
Epic.
Sure.
The Secret Life of Walter Mitty.
I do like that movie.
And finally, Super Capers.
The food?
I don't think so. I think there's like it's a kid's superhero movie.
I'll say I don't see the relation to the Super Life of Walter Mitty.
Also the first four posters all have like the same design look.
Yeah, I mean I'm pretty sure that the kid on shorts is the same kid on Super Capers.
Gotta be. Okay, cool. Well let's get into these critic reviews here. I'll start with Steve Davis of the Austin Chronicle, who is Jerrica's worst enemy because he did not like this film. He gives it a 1.5 out of 5. At times, Monster Trucks faintly echoes E.T., but it has all the grace of a jacked-up Ford F-150 with a four-link suspension and tractor tires crushing a row of cars by steamrolling atop them. Partner.
Okay. Well, my first one, I think he might be a little bit of nepotism in this review because it's from Damian Levy, Jamaica Gleaner, and he writes... Monster Truck feels like it was tailor-made for boys under 10 everywhere. Boys like monsters, boys like trucks. At least that's what the thinking is for a studio executive. But it's a fresh rating, though.
Okay.
Sarah Mars said, Monster Trucks is exactly the kind of movie that should cost studio brass their jobs.
Wow.
Ouch.
Holy moly, Sarah. Just because your sister Veronica went missing. Is that what happens? I don't know what happens to Veronica Mars.
No, Veronica Mars is the investigating the missing person.
Well, my version is different.
Yeah, same vibe.
Same vibe. Sorry, Kristen Bell, I've changed the plot. Okay, I'm just going to go with one more critic review here because we want to get into the real meat and potatoes here. This one is from Richard Krause of Richard Krause. Today, the worst movie on four wheels, no adrenaline pumping action, Monster Trucks will sell you the whole seat to make it easy to take a nap, 0 out of 5.
Stole our bit.
He did. He went back and went forward in time. It was written in 2021, though. I don't know why he decided 4 years later to write a review of Monster Trucks.
This one comes from Matthew Turner. Of Sci-Fi Now.
Turner Classic Movies, yeah.
And he writes, admittedly, it's a tough sell, but if you can get past the ridiculous premise, then it's surprisingly entertaining. 3 out of 5. Because he's a sci-fi nerd.
Yes, of course. The nerd voice. I get it.
Oh, I thought that sounded like... Oh, my gosh. What is that person's name?
I don't know.
From Mystery Men, the superhero who farts a lot. That's who that sounded
like. The spleen? Pee Wee Herman? Yeah,
Pee Wee Herman and Mystery Men. So this is a fresh review from Nell Minow. Oh. She says, think Pokemon with wheels, Fast and Furious for kids, Speed Racer with a plot you can follow.
Wow.
And Free Willy for gearheads with a touch of Scooby-Doo. And she gave it a B.
I take issue with Speed Racer. Was Speed Racer a complicated plot?
I mean, it was an anime. So.
I mean, I just think the idea of Free Willy for gearheads is like such a specific niche market.
Wouldn't it be great?
All the gearheads just wiping a tear away when Creech and his family make it to safety because he was a good truck.
They should have had that same Free Willy jump moment, but with Creech like over in. The truck jumping over into the water.
I mean, I see the vision.
I can see it in my head. But I can also see these audience reviews. So we're going to move on and we're going to see what these crazy folks are saying. I'm going to start off with Luke R. And Luke R.
It's got to be my friend Luke Rediger.
Yep.
Just so I can mention him on the podcast and tell and make him listen.
Well, Luke says... used to like this, but I don't like it. 0.5 star.
Such a Luke thing to say.
Luke. I don't know you, but I'm assuming it's a Luke thing to say because Nathan said it was.
Well, my first one comes from David B. And I can only assume that's David Borneas from Angel and The Crow Wicked Prayer.
Yeah, his finest work.
Writes, lighthearted family entertainment. 3 out of stars.
All right, David. Thank you.
This one is...
Brevity.
This one is anonymous, which is probably a good idea considering the your review. Brain. So it's young at heart. Way. Young at heart type of movie. Fun and great for the family. A nice change from all the sick psychosexual movies. 4.5 stars out of 5.
That took a turn.
Sick psychosexual movie. Part of that was him enjoying those movies, I think.
Why else would he do the alliteration?
Exactly. This one is also anonymous. I feel like this one is from Neil Breen. This is a 5-star review. I loved this movie. I watch it every couple of months with my son. It's super cute. It's a silly make you feel good movie. I don't understand how so many people don't like this movie unless they went into it with unrealistic expectations.
Every month, eh?
Like every couple months. It's time to watch Monster Trucks again. He's like, my son loves it. He's like, fucking Monster Trucks again. Are you fucking kidding me?
The kid's like, I'm 17 goddamn years old.
I'm almost as old as Lucas Till.
Well, my next one I think comes from us because it's from Brendan N, and I can only assume that's Brendan and Nathan.
Yep.
And they write, did the film fail? Yes. Was it that bad? No. Monster Trucks is not a bad film and deserves recognition by the audience it seeked. The central issue was the marketing and the high concept. Both of these failed to engage the viewers. This is an adaptation of a toy line that I played with when I was young, but it wasn't a major seller. Transformers was able to entice younger viewers with the robots. Monster Trucks has creatures that hide under vehicles. The film attempts the storyline that works thanks to Till in the lead role. The creatures are cute, and this could be one film that develops a following over the next few years. Wedge has a great history with fun concepts, like Look at Light, Look at Ice Age, for example. But he just couldn't mold a film out of the concept. Good, fun film, but one that is unrewarding. 30-12-2018. 3 out of stars, we gave it.
Wow, watched it right at the end of the year.
Well, Jerrica does her thing. I am looking up this toy line that he's talking about because it sounds vaguely familiar.
Okay.
This review is just amusing to me because it has like a funny story to it. It makes me want to ask questions. Mm-hmm. My husband nitpicked the entire movie. However, my father-in-law said it was a great family film. However, the only reason we were even watching this movie was due to the idiots who caused the shortage of gas in the Austin area. I want to know more about this. P.S. I am writing this instead of watching the movie. 0.5 out of 5. I want to know more about the gas in the Austin area. Do we think that Creech ate all that gas in the Austin area?
Yeah,
that goes without saying.
She probably gave it 0.5 a star because it was like it was too soon. You know, that's really close to home. Okay, this one 5 stars. I don't care what critics say. This is such a super cute movie. My whole family, which consists of my husband, my 2 girls, 17 and 12, plus my 2-year-old, enjoy watching it over and over. I get 5 stars. I like how they just broke down the age of everyone in the family just so you know where we're coming from.
All right. So before I do get on, there was, I don't think, maybe it was, but it's definitely not based on this movie. There was a toys, and that's why it sounded vaguely familiar, that you could actually make, you know, claws come out of the tires so it would climb over, like, rocks and stuff like that when you were a little kid. It was like an RC thing, I think. They were, you know, monster trucks, but I don't think it was this premise. So there we go. Okay. I digress.
Cool.
Let's see here. Okay, this one comes, it's just from Anonymous, short, but I think it proves my point. Mm-hmm. Alien type ET film, --, enjoyable. 3.5 out of stars. See, aliens.
--.
That's very clearly not aliens. Like, I don't know, I don't know how to explain this to you.
Aliens.
It's just a new species that they found on Earth.
Oh, but Jerrica, Nathan did have a pretty good defense there. He said, yeah, but aliens. Do you have a counter for that?
Yeah, but not aliens.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, but aliens?
Oh, this is the rest of the episode. We got to move on, folks.
Okay, well, this review, 1 star. Ugly America. Complete garbage.
I don't. Was that meant to be posted here?
I don't know. Ugly America, complete garbage.
Wow. Hot take. All right. This will be my last one. This is, again, nobody leaves their name. But this one simply says, poorly acted and still font like it. 2.5 stars. I don't know font, what that means.
Font like it?
Okay. Still font like it. Got that Monster Trucks font, even though it's poorly acted, I guess.
Torn between two of these last ones. One is like a 5-star review. Other is a 0.5-star review. Mm. They're both.
Follow your heart.
Both amazing. I'm just going to.
Combine them so it doesn't make neither one make sense.
All right, then I'll do that. Just slap the guy from the MacGyver show in the film. Put in a half-assed idea that involves in an alien make the U.S. government look like the bad guys again. And boom! We got a forgetful children's movie. Okay, when the U.S. government was not in any way, shape, or form involved, it was an oil company.
Did and there weren't aliens in it either, so that's crazy.
Yeah, but aliens.
Wait, can we just... Did he say forgetful? Forgetful movie?
Yes.
As if, like, the movie forgot it's... to be a movie?
Yeah.
The movie forgot how old Lucas Till looks.
How could you forget?
That was the 0.5-star. But the counterpoint, just like my, yeah, but aliens, is, fuck yeah, monster trucks are life. I love my truck. I call her the big balls of death. Fuck yeah. I love my dog, Greta. She is so cute. 5 out of stars. Do you see why I was torn between the two?
Yeah, I do see it. I see your inner struggle.
So this one is short and sweet. People really love cars. 3 stars out of 5.
They're not even cars. Oh my
God. Right, they're aliens. Aliens in trucks.
Fantastic reviews. Great job, everyone. We did it. We finally talked about fucking monster trucks.
You know what I can't wait for? Then you bring me back to talk about it again.
Yes, we're going to do it. It's going to be a just like that reviewer. We're going to talk about it every couple months just to see if we could peel back the layers. We're going to be like that podcast that watched like was it? It's called The Worst Idea in the World. And they watched Grown Ups 2 every week for a year. Just every episode is just watching it again. And you can slowly, like, as you go further and further into the podcast, there you could tell their minds are, like, unraveling more and more. They're picking up on, like, the dumbest shit. So we're going to move on now. We're gonna move on from Monster Trucks until, of course, you know, next week. We'll talk about it again. we're going to talk about things that we like. Well, I mean, I guess we did talk about things that we like for some people. We're going to talk about other things that we like, I guess. It's the dance craze sensation that's sweeping the nation. It's time for the What You Watching, Bud.
What you watching, bud? I don't know what you're watching, bud. I'll tell you so. Do, 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 do.
So, Jerrica, I'll start with you. What you watching, bud?
So, I really want to recommend a movie that I saw a couple weeks ago. I don't want to over...
Monster Trucks.
Called Monster Trucks. Actually, I have a copy of Monster Trucks, too. It's just for me and Lucas Till.
It's all pieced together from MacGyver footage. And Bigfoot, you know, monster jams.
So a movie came out. It came out last year, but it was recently a wide release. And I use that word loosely because I don't think it actually got like a wide release. I think it came to Toronto, where I live. Yeah. And it's called Origin. And it's directed by Ava DuVernay, who people probably know is directing Selma and like When They See Us, and she did a documentary about the 13th Amendment in the U.S. So she wrote and directed this, and it stars Anjanou Ellis-Taylor, who was recently in King Richard. And it is based on the true story of an author named Isabel Wilkerson, who wrote a book about caste and like how it's the idea of how like race isn't the only factor to bigotry. So she explores like race relations in the US and caste systems in India. And she researched the Holocaust. And I know that that sounds like a, I know what that sounds like. It's hard to explain because it's a movie about a woman writing a book, which I know doesn't sound like immediately like the most go out and get them. So it also stars
movie, yeah.
Yeah, it also stars John Bernthal, who people love, obviously. Stars Niecy Nash, who just won an Emmy for Dahmer. I'm not lying when I'm saying, like, I had never heard of this movie until like 2 days before it came out. I watched the trailer on YouTube. I saw a lot of hateful comments on the trailer on YouTube, and then I thought, okay, I have to see this movie just to annoy the people that this movie is noise. And I'm not lying when I say it's genuinely one of the best movies I've seen in recent memory. Like, it's fantastic. The performances were amazing. The story is very interesting. It's really well done. I'm sad that it didn't get any award buzz. It's like missed completely. I think Anjanue Ellis-Taylor should be up for Best Actress. I thought it was absolutely fantastic, and I saw it here in Toronto, and there were maybe like 10 other people there on a Friday night. So I just like want people to watch this movie and I think learn something. And I will say, though, I cried from just about start to finish. It also like it talks about Trayvon Martin. So it's really emotional. But when I left the theater, I had cried so hard that my eyes were like swollen. And I thought to myself, I will never want to watch this movie again, like Schindler's mm-hmm. List. Like, I'll never want to see that again. But then the next day, I was actually like, oh, my gosh, I actually can't wait to see that movie again. It was so good. So it's called Origin, and it's a pretty new release. So hopefully it'll come out on streaming or Crave or something like that in the next few months.
Cool. Or I guess Crave is like HBO in the States. HBO yeah. Max probably. Or just Max.
Yeah, hopefully it comes out somewhere where people can see it. Ava DuVernay has talked about how she like likes the cinema. Obviously, she wants people to see movies in cinema, but she would rather people just see the movie. And if that is in the cinema, if that's on a plane, if that's like on the Hulu app on her phone, like she just wants people to see the movie. So I would just encourage people to see it when and where you can. I thought it was great.
Awesome. All right. I just put it on my letterbox watch list. Nathan, what about you, pal? What you watching, bud?
Well, recently I have been watching a YouTube channel called Scammer Payback by a fellow by the name of, screen name by the name of Pierogi. Their
Christian name.
Their whole shtick is that they're going after people who send out all those, like, you know, refund scam emails, like, you know, you've been charged to Amazon or, you know, your McAfee subscription has renewed, that sort of stuff. Call if you want to cancel. He calls these people because he just puts his email out there where people send him saying, hey, I got this one. Hey, I got this one. He calls them up, basically wastes their time, hopefully trying to be able to remote into their computer. Because what their shtick is that they'll remote into, you know, your computer and gain control. But he's in IT and cybersecurity before he even started the YouTube channel. So he knows how to reverse the connection, take over control, delete their files, take over their computer, actually tell the scammers, like, call them by their real names, Timothy Chalamet.
Is that what that movie's actually about?
That's all about. It's all.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's about Timothy Chalamet scamming Armie Hammer.
Scamming people, like little people. You know, the unfortunate truth of it is most of the places that he's calling are in like Kolkata and India and stuff like that. But he actually speaks Hindi and actually will kind of use some broken Hindi with them. He'll put up translations as to what these guys are saying to each other in the background, because they don't think that, you know, anybody else on the average is going to understand what they're saying. And like I said, he just wastes their time, makes them kind of tear their hair out with how, like, because he acts like, you know, a little old lady a lot of times, or some, you know, brainless dude who doesn't know how to run a computer while he's doing all this stuff. And then by the end of the video, invariably the scammer kind of catches on and loses their mind and will start cussing him out in English and in Hindi. Great stuff. I love their mission statement, because it's not just him. He's got a whole crew of folks, and they actually have their Patreon. A portion of their Patreon goes to actually helping people recoup some of the money that they may have been scammed out of. So, cool. Scammer Payback, he's on YouTube. Pierogi's the guy's name, and he's got a whole host of people who kind of help him. So you careful, you could end up kind of going down a rabbit hole, but it's some entertaining stuff to watch people who spend their days being shitbags and stealing money from old people lose their mind once they realize all their like information has been deleted.
Yeah. No, that sounds good. That sounds justice is served. You're saying all those emails are fake?
Every last one of them.
God damn it.
Oh, I'll Brendan.
That's what happened to our patron.
They're like, your patron's credit card is expiring. And I'm like, oh, it must be. I better change it. But where's the link that I click on? Okay, cool. Well, I guess all of our recommendations are going to be very, very different. So what I saw recently is a classic film that I had yet to watch until, well, yesterday, a couple days ago. I watched Francis Ford Coppola's The Conversation. This is a movie with Gene Hackman. He is a detective, like a private detective, and they use like state-of-the-art audio surveillance equipment. I mean, state-of-the-art when the movie came out in 1974, but whatever. And he records a couple that he's being paid to follow, and what he hears makes him worry about what's going to happen when he, you know, turns in the audio to the person that paid him. He's worried because at one point I think the gentleman says kill us if he makes some comment. He hears some comment about like this person's gonna kill us if we're not careful or something like that. And so he's like, oh, so he's got like a moral dilemma about whether he should even hand it in. There's a little bit elements of his faith comes into it as he's a very devout Christian man. And it's all like it's like I think I read a review that pretty much summed it up really well. Like if loneliness had a soundtrack, it would be the soundtrack to this movie. It really is the examination of a paranoid, lonely, sad man who can't really have anything. He doesn't really enjoy anything. He has a girlfriend who doesn't know anything about where he works or what he does, played by Terry Garr. It's one of the like four John Cazale movies that exist. He did like four movies and then died of cancer very young. It's a Coppola movie, man. Check it out. The mayor from Jaws makes an appearance too. The Conversation. It's great.
I thought you might, when you said that you'd recently watched it, I thought maybe you were going to say Wings. And then I was going to say, you know, I've seen Wings.
Wings is great.
Because it won Best Picture.
Tony Shalhoub is so good. And I mean, Thomas Hayden Church at such a young age.
So young in 1927. Yeah. It was crazy.
I mean, that show was on forever. I mean, really. Steven Weber must be a Time Lord.
He's got to be. He did that, and then what? Studio 60, one of the greatest shows in all television.
On Chicago Med now.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there you go. That's those are recommendations. Now, of course, Nathan is Montrose there to say a few words.
He is. I'll get him in just a second.
Okay.
Hello. It's good friend Montrose Monkington III here, and I would just like to invite all of you over to my YouTube channel, Montrose Monkington TV. You can also be friends with me on the Facebook group, Montrose Monkington III Esquire and Friends. And finally, if you wish to, you can tweet at me on your Twitter device, at Montrose III. That's the number 3, RD. Thank you. Or later. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Montrose.
You're welcome.
And Jerrica, do you have anything you would like to plug or mention or promote or cosplay?
Cosplay?
Yeah, sure. Why not? It's a free country.
I mean, I would love to cosplay as like rich person.
When's your next Stop the Steal rally? That's coming up, right?
Do I have anything I want to promote? I mean, I don't have any podcasts. I'm not really that big on social media. I just want to promote the movie Saltburn.
Yeah! Everybody needs to watch it with their entire family.
I don't know. I just got to say, like, for some reason, this movie has, like, turned into affecting my life in, like, ways that I did not expect it to. I know this is a random tangent. You don't have to keep it in. I got a person stopped talking to me because I like Sulfur.
What?
Wow. I hope he's not listening to this. That would be so funny.
It's not like you said you love and support Donald Trump or anything.
No, it was so funny because I saw Saltburn and then I've seen it multiple times because obviously I have mental health issues, and if I like a movie, I see it way too many times. And then he hated it. And then I saw it again and liked it more with each viewing. And then he was like, oh, let's talk about, like, why you like it so much. Like, tell me why you like it. What about it spoke to you? And then I was just like, I actually don't want to. Like, I liked it, and I don't really want to have to argue with you about it. Like, I just want to enjoy it because I enjoyed it. And then he stopped talking to me. So I just want to say shout out to Saltburn for getting that guy out of my life. I want to say
Saltburn is the real friend.
Saltburn is the friends we made along the way.
Real Saltburn is the friends we made along the way.
I just want to say shout out to Archie Madekwe, who is in that movie.
Yeah.
I want to promote him.
Sure. Sure, just in general. Hope you have a good career.
Yeah. If people can send Brendan and Nathan some more sports movies that you want me to cover with them.
It gotta be extreme.
Yeah, any extreme sports movies. I think we're scraping the bottom of the barrel here.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about. We still haven't done Red.
And I was thinking Vertical Limit.
Vertical Limit. There's another one. Yeah. And maybe just Saltburn. Just
Point
why not?
Break remake. I mean.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I saw that in cinemas too.
Jerrica might also be our June on that episode.
I've only seen it the once.
Okay.
And I was definitely blind.
Hi.
Oh, well, no. I was definitely blinded by how handsome I found the men.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that the actual movie isn't that good.
Well, on that note, we are going to I just want to thank Jerrica once again for guiding us through the murky waters of Monster Trucks.
Thank you for having me on. I have been, honestly, since you started this podcast, you have been promising me that we would do Monster Trucks, and we're finally here in 2024. I had to live this long.
8 years of pure hell until we got here. I'm a horrible monster.
Truck. But you are a good truck.
Oh, thank you. That's what I should say to people from now on after they guessed. You were a good truck. And then just hang up. And they're like, what?
What did he just say?
Did he say what I think he said? But yeah,
he said I had a fat ass.
Are you looking at my bum? Bum watcher? Bum looker?
Ass looker.
But yes, thank you, Jerrica, once again, for talking about this wonderful film. Now, Nathan, do you have any questions about Monster Trucks? I don't know. Any questions about it?
I suppose, yeah, okay. I mean, in a movie,
yeah,
where our lead teenager is at least in his 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And in a movie where, you know, he has a what appears to be a full-time job at a scrapyard. And in a movie where they probably deleted the scene where he's applying for a social security check. And in a movie where he talks about where he was when he heard JFK had been shot. And in a movie where he actually talked about how he successfully dodged the draft for World War I,
mm-hmm.
you know, in his 20s. I simply have to ask, Lucas Till as a high school student? Man, what were they thinking?
Get your motor running. Head out on the highway. Looking for adventure. And whatever comes our way. Yeah, gotta go make it happen. Take the world in a loving place. Buy all of the guns and guns and
smoke and lightning. Heavy metal thunder, racing with the wind. And the feeling that I'm under. Yeah.